Pardon me?
You're glowing.
I'm, oh, hey. I hope that's good. Are we ready to start?
Sure.
Okay. AGP skin? Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for January 23rd, 2008. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout. Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda this evening. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Antonia.
Antonia Maldonado, Oceano. And nice to see all of you. The reason I'm here is because you know how it has been raining. And this time, the fire department was at my house because the water got almost to my front door from the street, okay? They took a little pump, they pump it out, and the one from the street and on the driveway said that that was county's responsibility, which I have been trying to get for the last 35 years. Not a year, not two, 35 years. And I still haven't heard anything from county or state or government or anybody. Okay, so my question is, what can you people do about it if we start pressing the county to do something? 13 is flooded. The Mexican store over there is flooded. Mario's, all the town is flooded, period. Okay, we had to go around right now to get here because all Highway 1 is all flooded. So what can we really sit down and do instead of just saying, well, it's county. Well, we know it's county, but what are we doing to make the county start doing something about it? Okay, it's true that people there's building and all that can afford to put their gutters in the sidewalk, but we can't. You know, people that's on low income or fixed income cannot do this. So county has to do it. We pay tax regardless if we are on low income or not. We still pay tax. And I would like to have my tax work for my community instead of other places. This is what I would like to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. I know we all share your concern about flooding in various locations around the community. And we have a thing that we may consider tonight or possibly at a later time to request some action from the county on flooding issues, sir. Is there any other public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none. Item number four, board member items for discussion. Pamela?
Nothing.
Nothing. Ryan? Barbara?
Nothing at this time.
I have nothing at this time either. Brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes from January 9th.
Mr. President, I have a couple of corrections to the minutes.
Okay.
On page five, under general manager items for discussion, I neglected to put in there that Caltrans, Mr. Dave Fry, actually was the person who requested us to pump the Povey Pond. So I'd like to have that added. And also, it says that the pond was pumped during a heavy rain on Friday, January the 1st. It was actually January the 4th, instead of the first.
Okay.
Ready for a motion?
Is there any public comment on the minutes of January 9th? Hearing none?
I move we accept the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of January 9th as corrected. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 6 is fire items. A, fire dispatch agreement, and we are postponing that until a later time because the agreement isn't quite finalized yet. Item number 7, utility items. The first is 7A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is the continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors after the San Simeon earthquake concerning cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. I think all of the board members are well familiar with this item. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move that we continue the cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the disclosure of emergency that was declared regarding cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 7B, water reliability agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo. Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to participate in the water reliability agreement. Patrick?
Mr. President, members of the board, I'm going to make a brief presentation, but John Wallace is here, the new district engineer, in case you have any questions. And he may, if I forget anything, he'll fill in for me. The State Department of Water Resources operates the state water project, which delivers water throughout the state. The San Luis Obispo County Flood Control District is a state water project contractor and purchases 25,000 acre foot a year from the state water project. As a subcontractor, our district purchases 750 acre foot a year from the county. The state water project reliability program, which is before you tonight, is a program developed by the county to allow subcontractors such as OCSD to be able to buy or sell excess water entitlements. Since our district is one of the subcontractors, we would be able to buy or sell water as we needed to. In some years, we don't use the entire 750 acre feet to which we're entitled. And utilizing the proposed program, we could sell our unused water. In other years, we need more water than is available, and under the proposed program, we'd be able to purchase excess water from the other subcontractors. This is a one-year program. State Department of Water Resources is projecting that only 25 to 30% of the entitlement will be delivered this year. So this year, because of the shortage of water available through the state water project, we would be a purchaser of water under this program. As shown on Table 1 in the staff report, we anticipate purchasing about 262 acre-feet of water this year. This assumes that we'll get 188 acre-feet of water from the state water project. That's 25% of our allocation. It assumes we get our full entitlement from Lopez Lake, which is 303 acre-feet. And it assumes we get 247 feet pumped from our wells for a total of 1,000 acre feet. We could pump more water. However, we have a water quality issue because the water that we receive through the state water project is of better quality than the water we pump. And the limit for really good quality water is about 25%. We can't pump more than, or we can't mix more than 25% of our well water with other water and have I won't say acceptable, but the desirable level of quality in our water. So that's why we restricted it to only 247 acre feet from our wells. In order to participate in the program, the district must approve the agreement that you've been presented in the package, and we must sign the participation form that's in the package. John, you want to add anything?
Yes, I could add just a few more items to that. I did check with the county today about the status
of the agreement that's being required of the subcontractors as well as CCWA to sign to participate in this program. Because the county council is still tweaking some of the language, the agreement that you have in your package tonight is still a draft. And so we don't expect any substantive changes to it. So what I would recommend with your concurrence is that you give tentative approval to the agreement, allow the president to sign it on your behalf at the appropriate time if it happens before your next meeting, and requiring that for the county. And also pursuant to having your legal counsel review it one last time as well. What I'm trying to say is that it's still in draft form. There's going to be a few more changes, but nothing substantial. So I think it's there, but you'll want the final agreement signed that actually is transmitted from the county. We don't have that yet. Otherwise, I think Patrick did an excellent job of outlining the situation with the State Water, and I'll be happy to elaborate if you have any questions.
I'd like to, when this initially came out, I got a phone call from the county. They had to have it by the 18th of January. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, well, now we don't need it till the end of January. And apparently now they don't need it till sometime in February. So it went from an emergency thing to something we can actually consider.
They will be taking this to the Board of Supervisors on February 5th. Okay. But the recommendation is in flux. What I understand is that they'll be recommending that the Board of Supervisors approve the master agreement and then have the subcontractors sign after that time. Mm-hmm. So we may be okay in bringing this back to another meeting to have you make a final approval on it.
Okay. But I think if not, we should do what John recommended and authorize the president to sign it, as long as it's not, doesn't vary a whole lot from what we have tonight.
Okay, thank you. Are there, first of all, questions from the board?
I do have a question. And with this agreement, we will get our full amount of water. Is that what you expect with this program, that we will get the 577 acre feet that we're asking for of the State Water?
No, we won't get that
we
amount.
We won't get that.
No. We will get something in between there, depending upon how much of our State Water is actually delivered. There's two restrictions right now that's hampering the delivery of State Water. One is the snowpack in the Sierras, and given today's rains and so forth, I suspect the reliability and the amount of water to be delivered will go up from the 25% that's been indicated here. However, the other factor is the Delta smelt environmental situation that the federal judge ruled that truncated some of the deliveries in the Delta. So the combination of those two events will really determine how much water we can deliver to the district, and it won't be your full amount. It will be something less than that.
Wasn't I given to understand that even if we get only 25% of our 25,000 acre feet,
right,
that would suffice to give every subcontractor their full amount?
Well,
or is that not the case?
It's not the case because you've requested far more than 25%
mm-hmm.
of your entitlement. So you've requested 577 acre feet, I believe, of your 750, which is quite a bit more than the 25%. And so you're in a situation where you have to make that up from other sources, either by pumping groundwater or by purchasing what we call wet water from other subcontractors under this agreement.
I guess I'm still not asking the question
okay.
properly. because I thought with the 25% of the 25,000 acre feet that
right.
was sequestered for this county, that it would, we are only using, if we use our full amount, it's only 22%. Of the amount,
right.
So I'm just wondering, you know, with that kind of situation, if we will not get our full amount that we're asking for here.
I'm beginning to understand your question.
Yeah.
theoretically, if all the subcontractors were in one pool, you'd be correct. But what's happening is they're strictly allocating the State Water to each subcontractor on
okay.
the amount that you have, the entitlement that you have. And for example, AVLA, which I'm also involved in, because we don't have the need for our entire state water, that excess water goes back to a pool, which then gets sold under the reliability program.
Okay.
It doesn't automatically get reallocated amongst all the other subcontractors. But you're right, if it was one big pool, there would be no problem in delivering everybody's water. And that was the case several years ago, but now the situation in Santa Barbara County with their drought situation and the need for the county to recover their cost to a greater degree has led to this reliability program.
Okay.
I have a question for John. Just to be sure I understand this right, they're saying that we will not get our full allocation this year from the state, basically.
Correct.
They said that would be cut.
Correct.
So to ensure that we will have hopefully enough, we need then to go in and purchase from the pool. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Which, when you compare it to the pumping of groundwater, is about the same cost.
Yeah.
The reliability pool will be priced at $160 to $200 an acre foot. And to pump your groundwater, according to the records that we've been working with Patrick and Phil, is about $224 an acre foot. So.
And isn't the pool a little cheaper than the regular allocation also?
Oh, by quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying $1,000 an acre foot.
So we're much better off going back and buying
the reliability.
The reliability.
Well, except we pay for all that water at $1,200 or $1,000 an acre foot. Whether we get it or not.
Yeah, but the additional that we're going to need to buy will not be at the thousands. It's going to be at around $200.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Patrick's right. Okay. I mean, you pay for your full allocation whether you use it or not.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
So we take or pay for the full allocation even though they're going to give us 25%?
Right. Correct.
So we pay for 100%, we get 25%, and then we have to pay again to make up for the shortfall between the 25% and the 100%.
That's right.
But if we use the groundwater in that, then we would, if we didn't buy from the pool and we tried to make up the difference with the groundwater, would we not have a water quality problem then?
It wouldn't be a problem. It would not be as good as the state water quality. And it's actually probably a little bit more expensive to pump the groundwater than it would be to buy from the reliability pool.
Thank you.
It sounds to me like a shakedown.
We're
get
paying.
Get rid of those fish up there. That's the problem.
If they're cutting our allocation to 25% of normal, they ought to cut the bill to 25% of normal to start with. And then we could talk about secondary allocations. Another concern is if everybody's getting their allocation cut to 25%, who all's going to have, where is this pool going to come from? Is everybody going to be scrambling for water?
There will be, as you see in some of the information attached to the agreement, there are folks like AVLA that don't need their full entitlement this year. And so it will be enough available for other subcontractors to purchase. And if there is any left over, then that gets sold to CCWA in Santa Barbara County. But it's very important to note, and the district councils and all the districts and subcontractors have looked at this, there's stopgap measures in this agreement so that the priority is given to the subcontractors in San Luis County before any water is sold to Santa Barbara County.
And only, I'm still presuming that only state water project participants can get water from the pool, as it were.
That's correct. There's also a concept of a drought buffer, which is actually a little bit less cost than this, but it's probably a topic of a whole other conversation. And so we can look at that for future years and compare whether the district would like to engage in a drought buffer purchase of excess entitlement compared to on a year-to-year basis of this reliability pool cost. The drought buffer water is about $73 an acre foot right now. And we can explain that in a memo to you so you can be better prepared, I think, in subsequent years to look at that.
I have another question. How do they, when additional water becomes available, do they just split it equally between the subcontractors asking for this?
It would be on most likely well, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. It could be on a first-come, first-served basis, or it could be that it would be proportionate to your entitlement. Mm-hmm. If you had 750 acre feet, Avila had 100, it would be in that ratio. I don't think they've decided that priority yet.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't speak to that.
Right,
but they anticipate enough water for everybody to get their entitlement from the people that are not using theirs.
Yes,
and that's before the anticipated increase in percentage due to recent rains.
And before what?
Your anticipated percentage increase due to the recent rains.
Correct. As the state finds that it can deliver more water. 50%, for example, you may not have to buy any, or 60%. Depends on the snowpack and the sears as we go along here.
That was another question that I had, that if we do participate in this, and let's say there's tremendous snowfall on the sears and all of that, and all of a sudden the Delta smelt starts becoming coming out of everybody's faucet, can we not purchase this without with no penalty? In other words, are we buying this up front and you bought it and that's it, or do we?
No, there are certain trigger points in the agreement, and those trigger points basically are declarations by the county saying, okay, we're going to offer some water for sale, whoever would like to get in. You have no penalty for not getting into the pool at that time, and they have another trigger point later on and so forth. So no, you wouldn't have a penalty for not getting in up front or having to pay up front.
But if we didn't get in to the pool and we needed it, it would be too bad. Is that correct?
Depends on how many other folks wanted it, but in all in all, there is enough water to go around to all the subcontractors in the county, given the amount of water that's not being used are not anticipated to be used, again, like the case of Avila.
And this is just setting up the agreement, but not necessarily the actual deciding to purchase.
That's correct. That decision will come later with a final cost, and you guys can decide at that point in time what you'd like to do.
Is there a cost to going into the agreement itself?
No. The one thing I would recommend to you in discussing with Patrick is, at this time, executing that participation indication, I think is attachment A to the agreement, so that you let the county know that you do intend to participate in the program. But again, that decision can be made at a later time whether you don't want to participate.
So if I'm understanding you right, we say, yes, we want to be part of this program, and then later we could opt not to purchase any water.
Exactly.
So it would have cost us nothing to say we want to be
in
the program.
It just keeps you as a placeholder.
It gives us like a reservation, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions or comment from the board? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none, I guess we'll look for a motion.
Then I would move that we allow the president to sign with the draft tentative approval, allowing pursuant to our legal counsel approval. This is when we have the real draft document, and signing the attachment A, which is the participation form.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the staff recommendation and participate in the water reliability agreement. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Brookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 7C, Sewer System Management Plan, consideration of the General Manager's recommendation to adopt the Sewer System Management Plan.
Again, I'm going to make a brief introduction. Joy Castain is here from the Wallace Group to answer any questions and to fill in anything that I leave out. In order to control sanitary sewer overflows, the State Water Quality Control Board adopted, I think, in 2006, three requirements with which every system must comply. The district has already complied with the first two requirements by first applying for coverage under the new statewide system by November 2nd, 2006. We did that. And second, by beginning sewer overflow reporting using an electronic reporting database by May 2nd, 2007. We've done that. We actually had a sewer overflow down on the beach, and we reported using that automated system. We're also going to get some training next week to help us do it more independently. We were kind of tied hip to hip with Joy to get it done last time, and hopefully we'll be able to do it on our own in the future. The third component is the development of the sewer system management plan. The plan is very complex, but it can be implemented in three phases. The first phase of that plan is what is before your board for approval this evening. The first phase includes a draft sewer system management plan, a schedule for implementing the plan, goals for managing the system, and the development of an organization to manage the plan. All of those components are included in the SSMP that's attached to the staff report, and this first phase must be approved by February 2nd, 2008. The second phase must be implemented no later than November 2nd, 2009, and the third phase must be implemented no later than May 10th, 2010. And staff recommends that the board approve the SSMP that's been provided this evening. Anything I forgot? Okay. But she'll be glad to answer questions.
Okay, first of all, comment or questions from the board? One question that I had is we mentioned an overflow down by the beach. Was that related to sand in the lines?
I believe it was. Is that right? Yeah.
Again, which I just keep coming back to the idea that we have for months and months requested state parks to put a sand trap filter in the line there so that sand wouldn't get into our sewer lines and cause blockages, and that's still an outstanding problem as far as I know.
Joy, are you working on that?
Melissa,
yeah, okay.
It is in the process. I do not have all of the details concerning it, but that is in the works. We are working with Parks and Rec to try to get that put in.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate all the help to get that done, because it's some amazing recalcitrance there on their part to get that done. We're all very anxious to have that happen and appreciate any leverage that you might be able to apply.
Well, one thing I'd like to point out while I'm thinking about it, on the staff report on the second page, under that the table there, it says portions of the SSMP that must be approved by the Board of Directors. It should be Board of Directors. It should say Board of Directors.
Okay. And if I might elaborate a little, the plan is actually, the Sewer System Management Plan is kind of a neat document. It is really complex. But basically, they've taken all of the elements for how to run a collection system and for everything that's done through public works, as far as capital improvements, emergency response plans, that kind of thing. And the idea is to put it all into one place rather than to have a bunch of documents in a bunch of locations, so that anybody who comes in will have this great reference that they can say, oh, we've got an overflow, who do I need to call? They'll have everything that they need right there at their hand. It makes everything work a little bit more efficiently. The goal is to kind of help control sewer overflows and save the city money or the district.
Right, a comprehensive plan in one place is obviously a good thing, like an emergency management plan,
yeah,
something
exactly.
You want to know how to handle it before it happens.
Right.
Okay, any other comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none at this time.
Do you like a motion on
yes,
that?
Do we have a motion?
Okay. I would recommend that we approve phase one of the sewer system management plan to comply with the State Water Resources Control Board statewide general waste discharge requirements, order number 2006-003-DWQ, and direct staff to continue with the implementation of the SSMP phases two and three.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the staff report and participate in phase one of the, or adopt phase one of the sewer system management plan. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8C, or I'm sorry, 8. 8A, administrative items. This is committee assignments. Confirmation of the committee assignments. There was one, I believe, Vice President Bookout had a conflict with the Zone 11A.
I will not be able to attend those meetings. I own a business here in Oceano, Oceano Nursery, and it's going to require me to be working during those hours.
Okay.
You're in Zone 11A, too, aren't you?
I'm in Zone 11A, but I don't think that's a conflict.
I believe most of the members of the Zone 11A committee, the actual committee members, most of them are either residents or property or business owners in the zone.
Yeah, most of them are.
This is not a voting.
And our position, as I understand it, is we're an advisory to an advisory committee here. Or a representative or liaison, if you will, rather than a voting position.
I was very fortunate in the last meeting. Our general manager, Patrick, was able to attend for us. And it's very important that we have someone from our board attend this meeting. I wish that I had more time, but right now I'm pretty much the only employee at Oceano Nursery, and I need to attend to my business.
Okay. And Vern, would you be able to attend those meetings?
And,
okay. In that case, then, I would propose that Director Dahl be the primary representative to Zone 11A with Director Mann as the backup. For the Oceano Advisory, are you still able to do the Oceano Advisory as backup? Or
I can back up with them if needed.
Zone 3 is not an issue. Zone 3 is in the evening.
Zone 3 is usually at 6:30 in the evening. Okay, any other discussion? Public comment on this item? Hearing none, then.
I move that the committee changes be accepted as presented by the president.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the committee assignments be approved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Item number 8B, quarterly investment report. This is our review and hopefully acceptance of the quarterly cash investment report.
Yeah, Mr. President, members of the board, this is actually the annual investment report that's due December the 31st, 2007. Funds on hand at the end of the year, we had $2,087,490.97. One of the things that our investment policy requires is that we review the investment policy in January each year. I haven't had the opportunity to do that, so I will ask the board to defer that to a future date, and I'll try to get to it within the next few months and bring it back to the board.
Okay, are there comment or questions from the board?
Yes, I have a question. It says that staff has reviewed the current investment policy and finds that it should be modified to include a comprehensive reserve policy.
Right.
Is the finance committee going to meet regarding that?
We should, yeah, right,
yeah.
Right. But like I said, it's going to be a few months. There's a whole lot of stuff
months,
going
yeah.
on. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So it will come back with the other. Would they both come together?
What's that?
The reserve policy and the investment.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Right.
Okay.
So the investment policy has or has not been reviewed?
It hasn't, no, that, I haven't had time to do that.
Okay.
That's correct.
What we do know is the funds on hand and the
right.
the account balances
right.
and
right.
And that, but we're
yeah,
still
and reserve policies get very complex.
Right.
I mean, we don't want to just do something kind of off the cuff. We want to look at it and give a lot of due consideration to what kind of reserves we want to have in each fund. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was one of our goals this year, was it not, Pamela, we had talked about?
Yes, we did talk
about the reserves.
That we
definitely wanted to
yeah.
decide what they were going to be.
Yeah, it's a concern.
Mm-hmm. Other comment or questions?
So you're looking for just an acceptance of what it's been until you get
yeah.
a chance to review it. And
receive and
right.
Okay. Are there comments, questions from the public on this item? Okay. Hearing none, we'll receive and file. Item number 9, report of district representatives. Sanitation district meeting on the 16th, I was not able to attend. The fire committee meeting last night, I did attend, and we discussed the reserve firefighter policies and how that would be implemented. Some of our funding issues for that, which I think is also going to be discussed in the Finance Committee. Barbara probably has more comment on that.
That's fine.
And that is it. Bill?
I have nothing.
Okay. Vern?
Yeah, on the Oceano Advisory Council, we'll take these a little bit out of order because they're in reverse order date-wise. So there was an Oceano Advisory Council chairs meeting, which is the chair of each each advisory council met at the county with planning top planning personnel, and so went over some of the issues that were going on, and we're going to be having a meeting for all advisory council members sometime in April, and they're updating their website so that we can go look at all the active items going through planning in a particular area. And that should be up and running in about a month. Right now, anybody wanting to go to the
you know, Planning Commission website, the address is sloplanning.org, and you can look up stuff to do with planning at that point. They're going to be working toward accepting credit cards for initiating planning reviews or planning stuff, be able to pay with a credit card and start them out on the internet. We heard from code enforcement. Code enforcement is trying to step up their department to do more code enforcement, better code enforcement, and to do it faster. There are areas in the county where they're passive on the code enforcement, and areas where they're proactive. Where they're proactive, they actually send cars out and look for violations. Oceana was one of the areas that they're proactive in. They look for mostly for health and safety issues is what they're looking for when they go out and look at those type of things.
Then, okay.
And we each of the chairs talked about stuff that was going on in their individual areas as far as projects that have been coming to them and things that have been happening and problems they have in the area. And then on January 16th was the Airport Land Use Commission, and that meeting was canceled. So this time I found out about it before I had to leave and find out at the meeting. And then on January 21st, we had the regular monthly Oceano Advisory Council meeting. It was held on Martin Luther King Day, so it was a holiday. And it was very, very quiet. There was basically five of the seven of us made it to the meeting. And staff from the county made it. There was no reports given, no from any other agencies or places that show up. We just went on with the regular business and did mostly discussion type items. The things that came up was the county handed out a hard copy for the airport land use plan to us, so we have that now finally. We got a boundary map for our area of that we look, we advise on. So we have our boundary map now done. We're going to have a discussion on what those, if those are adequate boundaries, if we want to keep them as they are, change them a little bit. There were two appeals that happened at the for the Planning Commission. One was on the restrooms in Oceano here, and the appeal was heard by the supervisors, and it was denied, and which means that the appeal to have the restrooms or the project for the restrooms would go forward. The vote on that was 4-0, and Cacho had to abstain from the vote on that because of a very thin, minor connection to the community that would keep him from voting. And then they're expecting one more appeal because this is in the coastal zone. It now can be appealed to the Coastal Commission. And so it'll have to go to them to be heard before from that area standing up and speaking against it. It's a zoned multifamily, and Planning Commission is very protective of their multifamily land because they're trying to get it, more people in smaller areas, smaller space, and get more affordable housing. And they have, in their opinion, not enough multifamily land. And even with that being that way, the Planning Commission was unanimous in denying the project. They did not. They felt that it was not adequate in there. There was a buffer for agriculture that needed to be in there, and the ag buffers are not allowed to be on ag land. So the buffer would have to be on the development land, and it's a 120-foot buffer, but they have no idea where the 120-foot came from because the typical buffer for agriculture is 200-foot, and some places 300 feet. And this would take this land down to being developable with, for only maybe one or two houses or one or two sites from the several that that they were talking about, you know, wanting to build on there. And the Planning Commission even went so far as holding a vote to try to ask the supervisors to change the zoning on that piece of property. But that vote barely failed, or failed by a small margin. So that that decision by the Planning Commission has been appealed to, and that'll be heard on March 18th. New building codes are in effect. We're now using the International Building Code instead of what I think was Uniform Building Code was what it used before, I believe. I'm not sure. But we are now in the International Building Code. There was some additional last-minute filings to try to get underneath the old code or get in under the old code. And that was the some of the announcements from the county. Then we went on to look at two items, which was the, they were both in the coastal zone. They're both on hold right at the moment, but it was something we had not looked at, and so we started looking at these two items. One was the installation of a that's about everything that everything of really had anything worth talking about happened. That's basically it.
Okay. Pamela.
I attended the Zone 3 Advisory Committee, and John Wallace is here tonight, so if I miss something, he can help me with it. We did find out that the lake is, Lopez Lake is holding at 68%. I asked when it would start filling, infilling, and Jim Gehring, who lives in the upper reaches of the lake, said you have to have 18 inches of rain before you start getting flow into the lake. We've got a ways to go. Right now, our water treatment plant is producing 3.5 million gallons per day from Lopez water, 1.25 from state water, and we have 4 million gallons per day released downstream. The good news that we found out is that the water quality is improving as a result of our treatment plant. So the turbidity that they measure at Port San Luis is at 1/100th, and what they look for is less than 5/10, so we're way low on turbidity. The other thing that they measure is the trihalomethanes, which is called THMs, and that's the byproduct of drinking water chlorination. We're down to 26 parts per billion, and before it was at 70 parts per billion. So our new water treatment plant is being very effective in doing its job. However, being effective means that we still are using a lot of chemicals in the clean in place. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're still doing that once a day. Generally, they look to try to reduce that to once a month. They're looking at perhaps using this clean in place, what we're cleaner over budget. We are still consistent with our five-year estimate, but we are up 29% with our routine operation and maintenance because of the chemicals that are used. We also are, we actually had a meeting, or people from staff had a meeting with Anthony Spina, who is the person that handles the habitat conservation plan for the steelhead. He did come to the district and met out in the field. And now we're looking at when to utilize fish attraction flows in in the creek. So I guess the county people will be trying to figure out when that would work best, and that means checking the level of inflow into the lake. That means checking the lagoon water level, and I thought, well, what does the lagoon water have to do with this? Well, the water level will drop there when the sandbar breaks through and more water is going out to the ocean. So they're looking at a water level monitoring station in the lagoon to do that, plus gauge mapping and so forth to make sure that there's plenty of flow coming down and that we could do the fish attraction level. As far as our presentation to Anthony Spina, he still has not given us really an idea of what he thinks of our plan, and we still have a ways to go with that. Last time I reported about, the bladder, this is to increase the height of the dam at Lopez, and I thought, we all thought Monterey County Water Resources Agency would have a similar type of situation, and we could look at their information, and it turns out it doesn't correlate at all. So we are going to have URS Corporation evaluate our concept for our bladder dam and give us an idea of how to approach this. And I think that's probably all I need. Oh, I do have the proposed budget that we will be looking at next year. So it will be coming to everyone. Okay, and that's it. Is there anything else?
I think Director Dean did a great job of explaining the meeting.
Did have a service contract is because if the regular generator goes out, correct me if I'm wrong, you will have a real problem, so you need the emergency one. And we had to get a service contract. Went along with a three-year contract because then it was cheaper than doing 1 year each time. And the money was already in the equipment maintenance category, so that wasn't going over budget at all. Then I think what really impressed me the most was they were discussing digester number two, the cleaning and the internal inspection. And for that, they had a budget of $350,000, correct? And when they put that out to bid, the cheapest one that came back was $473,536, and that really wasn't acceptable. So we have such great employees over there, and they are so really dedicated and talented. And John talked to them, and they decided that they could do this themselves. That they their manpower, they won't have to increase their manpower, a few extra hours, a little bit of overtime, not much. They will do this themselves, and probably total it'll cost about $147,000 to $150,000. And I just think we really need to commend Mr. Wallace and his group, because that is our money, and you know, we are one-third owner of that plant. And anytime we can save those kind of dollars, that is really, really great. That was really what about went on. It was over quick. Grover Beach was out of town, so they weren't there. So it was just Jim Guthrie, the alternate from Aurora Grande, and myself. So I think some of your normal things like your election of president or chair will be held at the next meeting. And, you know, it was a pleasure to go with you guys, and I was especially happy to see that big savings in money, because I like saving money. That's one of my goals in life, is saving money. The only thing on the fire committee that I think maybe President Hill missed a little bit was we did discuss the OHV in lieu fees and where we stood on applying for funds for that, and I don't know, you might want to elaborate on that. And other than that, that's all I have.
Okay, the in lieu fees again is related to off-road vehicle parks, and the district has made an application for some of that funding due to ourselves and our automatic aid partners responding to potential events at the state vehicle recreation area. So our thought was that some of the cost of providing that service could be recovered for use not only by the district perhaps, but also our partners in responding there, which might be CDF, which comes down to routinely to back us up when we go out on the beach, and possibly the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande if they're also involved. So that's what the OHV and LUFI discussion was. That's an application that we've made. It's still pending. There's been no decision yet by the county. The county are the ones who will be dispersing those funds. And thank you, Barbara, for attending the Sanitation District meeting. I also want to commend the staff of the Sanitation District. This is just one in a long history of examples where the staff at the Sanitation District, these guys do a fabulous operation. They just keep it low-key, and everything works properly. When everything works properly and there's no problems, no red flags go up, it just goes smoothly, that means that somebody's doing a really good job behind the scenes, and that's the case at the Sanitation District plant. Many times over the years, the guys there have come, we've put projects out to bid, for example, and like this one, the cost was appeared to be extraordinarily high, and the staff has stepped up and been able to handle the jobs at far significant cost savings that saves all of our ratepayers money in the long run. So we all owe a debt of gratitude and congratulations to John and the staff at the Sand District plant. They, Jeff and Tom Zander and everybody who's involved with that does a fabulous job. All of the staff there do really well, and we appreciate that.
I'll pass that along to the staff. Thank you very much for your comments.
Okay, questions from the board members, first of all.
For all members of advisory committees for training and discussion of issues that are going on. And that is what's coming up in April. Mm-hmm. They do quarterly, they do a chairs meeting. So four times a year, they do a meeting that each chair goes to. And that was what I attended.
Okay, thank you. The April meeting then would be pretty valuable to attend for certainly for the members, but possibly interested members of the public that want to learn more about the planning process and how the county works with planning and building code regulations, that sort of thing. Are there comment or questions? Any comment or questions from the public on the reports?
Yes.
Antonia?
On the planning, on the housing, okay. There's a lot of homeless families right now that cannot afford to rent a house. I have one living with me because she couldn't get in the house. She has two children. It was $1,500 rent, $1,500 deposit, and $1,500 for the last month. Added up is $4,500. Plus bills that she had to pay, plus food. Okay, we are not rich, this is poor people. Okay, and then they didn't qualify because they didn't have good credit. How can anybody have good credit when they're paying so much rent? So what happens? Okay, they evacuate them. So the county has to do some kind of agreement to make low-income houses or make sure that they lower the rents for these people. Because otherwise, we're going to have a whole bunch of families just sitting under the bridge or sleeping in the cars or what. And then county or the SCP, whatever you call it, comes and take the children because they're not providing for them. How can anybody provide for families when they don't have a home to live in and they have to go to work? And what about the children? They go to school during the day. The parents have to go to school. They still don't have a place to sleep. Okay, you can see here in Oceano, this is another thing that Mr. Abdul brought up. There's a lot of trailers just parking here and there, you know, that when they close this area over here with the trailers over here, all these people ended up without a place to park their trailers, okay? So they spend them. We have to really start thinking about the people instead of how much money we can get or how much this we can get on, okay? We either lower the rents for these people or make affordable houses, okay? They try to get into some apartments over here that they have here in Oceano that you know which ones I'm talking about, but these are for migrant people. Most of these people come from another country, while our people from over here are struggling to rent a house. So think about it and let's see what we can do for these people. Like I tell you, I have a family right now and they come every day because I do go shopping here at the food bank with my own money that I don't have and make boxes of food for them. If I'm doing my part, I'm pretty sure that the rest of the county or state or government can do their part. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. I requested that the general manager draft a letter requesting assistance from the county for flooding issues that we've had in the community. As you all know, the county has the responsibility here for drainage and flood control in Oceano as part of the county flood control and water conservation district. And the district is authority for...
Can I ask a question? We have to add this to the agenda, right? Do you want to discuss this? Okay. Before, I think...
Yes, thank you. The point would be to potentially add this item to the agenda. And so in order to add it to the agenda, it would have to be something that has either come up at short notice or an emergency item. And so that's what the item is. And if the board thinks that this is something that's come up very recently due to the recent flooding or an emergency item, then we can add it to the agenda tonight. Otherwise, we could...
I think for purposes of this, just to be safe, recusing yourself is probably a good idea. This is a matter of public interest that theoretically... Well, I'd have to go back and say yes to be safe because it impacts you maybe more directly than the general public. I think it'd probably be a good idea for you to recuse yourself.
Okay.
My understanding, Mr. General Manager, was that this was added. This item was added earlier today.
No,
or say it has not been added
yet. It has not
yet.
Been
okay.
Added. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we need to do that now in public session.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that qualifies? That's an emergency?
I think it has to be found by the board that this is an emergency situation.
Okay, so we determine whether it qualifies or not?
I believe so, yes. Yeah,
okay.
That's correct.
There's no legal definition that we have to go by to say whether it's an emergency or not, just in our own minds?
Right.
Okay.
My crystal ball didn't tell me a week ago that it was going to be a big rainstorm.
So I guess the first order of business then would be to consider whether we wanted to consider this as an emergency addition to the agenda for this evening. So,
and Mr. Vice President, I think your decision on whether or not this is an emergency item, that is an okay decision for you to make before general discussion starts amongst the board. Though
okay, so I can make
yourself.
So then I can have a vote on this particular item right here.
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
So in that case,
I feel that it's an emergency.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
I will second that. If I can, if it's legally right, I will second
yes.
it because it is an emergency. And with that,
or I would second it myself.
Yeah. With that, I'll recuse myself. I believe I can sit in the audience on this.
Yes.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote on it?
Or? I believe a roll call vote is required.
Okay.
Director Mann?
Yes.
I'm confused. Is the second still Vice President Bookout?
I'll be the second.
Okay. President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Okay, so we've added to the agenda this evening consideration of a sending a letter. The general manager has prepared a draft which we may expand or modify as appropriate, but there are already we've been requested by Caltrans to employ some pumps to try to get the flooding brought down on Highway 1. Caltrans has requested that we do that, but they haven't provided any resources for that to happen. And again, the district has no neither the authority. We don't I don't believe the district contributes to the problem at all. We're kind of captured bystanders, if you will, like all of the other members of the community, especially everyone who has to drive through that intersection every day, which probably the majority of our residents have to do. And the continuing flooding there is something that goes on, is gone on for some time. And I believe the county and Caltrans and the major players in the issue need to come up with some kind of a drainage solution, not only for 13th and Paso Robles, but some of the other areas in the community that routinely flood. Most of those would be the direct responsibility of the county to take action with that. And I guess just out of continuing frustration with it, I would suggest that we send a letter requesting the county to assist us as best they can with the flooding that we have here, since the flood control and amelioration of flooding here is the responsibility of the county.
When I look at the letter, you know, we're talking a lot about Caltrans and we're talking about Highway 1. I would think maybe then we could pull out or add some other things about also talking about the flooding conditions in Oceano, which the county is responsible for. Caltrans is Highway 1, correct?
Right.
You know, that we ought to...
I don't see any other reference really to other areas of our community,
but I mean,
that have been promised some amelioration and have not had it. And Antonio has spoken out many, many times and no one's come.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
We have Laverne over there that gets flooded all the time. There was supposed to be something happening, and it never happened. So we get all these promises and
expand the letter a little bit.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would like to see more.
That's one of the other things dealing with the community services district as we are. We don't have the authority for many of the facilities in the community. Flood control is one of the ones that we don't have responsibility for. That remains with the county. So we need to, I think, ask them to step up and exercise their authority and try to take care of some of the problems that we have. That, as was mentioned earlier, we all pay taxes to have that addressed.
Well, I'm in agreement with this. I don't like it being addressing one problem only. If we're going to address flooding in Oceano, we need to address all the flooding in Oceano. Secondly, this is we're in a lawsuit over this one particular spot that this letter is addressing, and I don't know how that affects us legally to be making any kind of statements on something that there's going to be a legal decision and settlement coming down the line on.
Well, I'm kind of, part of my job here tonight is to make sure that nothing gets said that would affect either positively or negatively that litigation. I think the letter, what we're addressing, especially what has been talked about, is not just one particular area, but let's talk about other flooding areas, which is a concern both to the board and to the community of Oceano, and I'm not worried about the discussion that has gone on. I will intervene if I think we go to something that's inappropriate to discuss in an open meeting.
I'm thinking we should have maps attached because we have a lot of areas here. We could just say, we could put all the areas in here that are particularly tough on people. So I'm thinking maybe that would be more appropriate that we have something large. We could also take something large to the Board of Supervisors and say, this is our community and this is what gets flooded every rainstorm, and we want this to stop. I think it would be good for as many of us to go as possible. So I'd like to expand on the letter and on the emergency. The emergency has been years, 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 and nobody listens to us. Mime for me, I guess. So pictures would be good. We can go take pictures and go around town and show people what's happening. We've had a lot of pictures down on Route 1, but we haven't had a lot in the rest of the city.
I've seen pictures on Casita Street and many other locations. I've seen them in the newspaper even there. They've been published this year and previous years, but part of what I thought was an emergency is it's raining right now, and the rain is forecasted to go on. As soon as the sun comes out, the problem tends to be ignored, but it gets a little bit more focused when the rain's actually coming down. So I thought that if we got this to the Board of Supervisors as soon as possible during the rainy season, it might get more attention.
And like we said, it's not just Highway 1 and a couple of businesses there. Right. It's the houses in the community, even just the kids walking to school on some of these side streets. The water is almost in the middle of the street, so they're pretty wet by the time they get there. There's probably a dozen streets in Oceano that flood.
Yeah, and we're flooded at 22nd and Wilmore.
Yeah.
It's a big flood sign there.
Yeah.
You can hardly get, even one lane is not open. I think we need to do our job and get it all together. Expediency will not be as good this time, but to have all of it shown, and maybe we do a community enhancement meeting or something like that and get people in to come talk about that and bring their pictures and bring their areas.
Didn't we do a
flood study?
A big poster or a map? Maybe it was when the levee broke. And we took to the Board of Supervisors. Remember that, Gina? We made that. Did that little flood talk. You think about it, I think. And, at least they took it and admitted it as a
visual would be very, very good to take there. You think that it would make an effect.
You remember that? I'm not... I thought I remember doing that. It's been a long time, but...
Another thing that brought this kind of to a head again was the request by Caltrans that OCSD set up some pumps to try to help with that, which I'd like to see Caltrans pick. The fire department would be restricted there or not, but when there's a foot of water in a major intersection or more than a foot of water, it strikes me that the fire trucks are going to have to slow down, if for nothing else, for cars that are trying to get through there and get stuck, which they do when it floods there. And if they're going to have to be dodging cars and slowing down, it's going to be very hard to convince me that our emergency response is not impeded when that intersection is flooded, when Cienega and Front Street is flooded, when other streets in the community are flooded, things jam up and emergency vehicles have a harder time getting through.
I kind of don't think maybe the fire truck, it slows them up, particularly going through the water, but like you say, when there's a car stuck there, because I remember watching them have to push a car out by hand earlier in December, before they could hook it up to the tow truck, because the tow truck can't go in the
can't put the chains when it's underwater. And then also on the curve, where the water comes out more, that blocks a whole lane, then the traffic just drives in the one lane, so you'll have traffic going both ways there on the curve. You know, I think those are the things that...
If it was a beautiful day and there was nothing but a big puddle that the truck could go through, it probably wouldn't be an issue, but I don't think that's really what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's the other things that are there when he needs to go through the puddle.
Right. So I think there's a significant basis for concern, and we have an organization that has the charter and the responsibility to deal with those issues, and I'd like to see the board encourage them to take further action. Any additional comment from the public on this item?
Well, since I'm the public, Bill Book out, and I'd like to comment. You guys are making great headway here today. And water does run down hills, and when the county of San Luis Obispo issues building permits downhill and blocks drainage, they need to be made aware that the community of Oceano is not going to stand for that. Recently on Wall Street, we're very fortunate to have John Wallace working for us again. John Wallace has been involved with the drainage in the community since 1983 when he worked for the county of San Luis Obispo. John Wallace has been involved since then. John Wallace has done drainage studies for Oceano back in the mid-80s. So I would ask that you consult with Mr. Wallace as you look at other drainage issues besides Oceano and Highway 1. The county has issued building permits, and these building permits are what's causing the problem on Highway 1 today. No one's taken responsibility for this. The community, this has been a community problem for a whole number of years, and it's a safety problem. We've all seen fire trucks drive through this water. It's ambulances. We've seen ambulances drive through this water. We've seen people stalled out in this water, not just at Highway 1, but other spots in Oceano. This is our community, and we need to make it our community. You're making good steps right here. One of the papers I reviewed was when the OCSD had ownership of the Oceano Airport. And at that time, OCSD was aware of the need for not allowing an individual on Air Park to get an easement or abandonment of Pismo Place, which is a county street, paper street. That's where this water goes. This water, if it leaves that area, is going to flood people on Fountain Avenue. It'll flood people in the Lagoon District. It'll flood people in the Security Court District, Honolulu areas. There's a lot more implications for this water and where this water goes once it leaves Highway 1. I think Mr. Wallace will attest to that when you look at his prior writings in prior documents that he's compiled working for the district in the past. This is knowledge. I don't know if the directors here know this, but it's stuff you should have in your knowledge of the community. Thank you.
One point of information, with some of the new laws that have come out, which I asked the county to come down and make a presentation here.
What do you need from us on this letter? Just.
I guess we can
continue with it.
Continue with it, refine it, add perhaps a general map of the area showing the locations that historically and predictably flood, and request again the county to.
Can staff? We should have a copy in the office of that recent flood study that was done in Oceano. Bring that out to whatever group's going to be looking at this.
That one from 5 years ago. that we pay.
Yeah, that costs the doggone much money to tell us that we have a problem, but no money to fix it.
That you should form an assessment to fix it. Yeah, that study. Yeah.
Yep.
It should be around here someplace.
Doesn't the county have a drainage study, too, that they did, I don't know, several years back?
That's,
or is that your flood study that you're talking about?
No, that's the one we're talking about, where they did us. They did all the special districts.
Yeah. Yeah. It says we have problems all over the place.
Yeah, and form an assessment district is what they said. We could have saved all that money because we could have told them where the streets were that flooded.
Yes.
It's not really a secret. It's the worst kept secret in the county.
So they told us that we should form an assessment district and take care of it ourselves, even though they are responsible.
Basically, well, it was how are you going to fund it? And that was the number one suggestion, was it not? Yeah, because they said there's no money to fix it. They spent the money on telling you where the problems were. No money to fix it, and here's how you can do it.
Yeah, it was quite an expensive study, if I recall, which pointed out the dreadfully obvious and took no action to correct the situation.
And I forget where that money came from. Was it in the...
It was in flood control district.
Yeah, flood control district's money. That's where it was from.
Mr. President, just to let you know and the public know, that report, that drainage report, is online at the county website under the Water Resources part of the County Public Works website. So you can go to that website and pull up that report if you want to see it online.
The County Public Works website
for Water Resources.
Water Resources. Okay, thank you, John.
And it was about 5 years ago.
Supervisors meeting or pursue it. That's probably a good course of action, would be an ad hoc committee.
Do we want to wait 2 weeks for this letter to come back, or do we want to say if it's done beforehand, our president could sign the letter? Or do you want to look at the letter?
I have reservations as far as the fact that, you know, there's going to be a legal settlement, and I don't know if it'll do more damage than it'll do good. I think I would feel fine with sending a letter if you do it in a. If you're going to look at all the flooding in Oceano.
Look at all the flooding. And I believe we'd be remiss if we didn't have council look at the litter before it went out, too.
I mean, the county's involved in this lawsuit also, so, so they're going to have to look at it through those eyes as well. Mm. And something's going to happen on this through a settlement, or at least it needs to. And that's my concerns.
Well, I would be willing to be part of an ad hoc committee. Vern, would you like to participate in that, or Pamela?
Mr. President, that hasn't been agendized about forming an ad hoc committee. What's on the agenda is directly reviewing this letter.
Point taken.
We can put it on the agenda for the ad hoc committee at the next board meeting, right? Mm-hmm. Do the letter first and then do your ad hoc committee?
Well,
that's probably the best way to handle it, is we'll try to come up with a more comprehensive letter and then make sure the council gets to review that. And
especially about the rest of Oceano,
right?
You know, because it's not just one street. It is.
Oh, absolutely not. It's there's several key points in the community that recurringly flood.
We've already gone down this road with the county, recently, and they did this. Study, and they came back and they gave us what their answer
is. Point.
Well, the way that the county philosophy on it is that
Director Dahl, regarding pending litigation, I think where you're going with this might not be
Okay, I wasn't going to talk about that issue. I was going to talk about the philosophy for flooding as a whole throughout the county. But thank you for the philosophy is that you're not going to have people from Cambria or Paso Robles paying for flooding in Oceano, or people in Oceano paying for flooding for people in Paso Robles. And so that's why they look at wherever the flooding is, the money for it is going to, in general terms, comes from the area that the flooding is in. And that's why they were talking about forming an assessment district. Now, I do know that a couple of years ago or so, they spent a lot of money in Napomo for flooding. And so so that's might be the one direction that we look and see where that money for Napomo came from, and see if there's a way of getting past this assessment district thought process. Thinking that is within the county.
Well, we know how hard assessment districts are to form, but I also think everybody did help pay for the flooding in Cambria when that happened. That was before the Napomo.
Yeah.
Because they were down here and talked about it, and I will remember this forever, as will Katie Shore, when they said, well, when you're flooded as bad as Cambria was, we'll be down. And that gentleman, whoever said that, I don't believe he was in that department that much longer from the county. But, because everybody did help pay for the Cambria.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother had a shop in Cambria when that happened. It was 4.5 feet of water inside the shop.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess the direction generally out of that would be to enlarge the letter to discuss the areas that flood in the community and add in some graphics probably from the previous study and some of the resources that we have here.
There's a meeting in Arroyo Grande concerning the People's Kitchen. In that case, at a prior board meeting, it was decided we could not have an ad hoc committee attend that meeting because we didn't have any power to take that action. So citizens should know that if they're interested in People's Kitchen support, they should go to that meeting. And if anybody from the board is interested in going, I need to RSVP. So if you'd let me know, I'd appreciate that.
Patrick, what day is that meeting?
The 21st.
It's a Thursday.
21st of February?
At 4:30.
I definitely would like to go.
Okay.
Significantly, that's a change. They'd originally tried to have it tomorrow. Was the 24th of January was the original proposed schedule for that. February 21st, now is Thursday at what time?
At 4:30.
Okay. I'll probably not personally be able to attend that. I could have attended it tomorrow, but I know that it was rescheduled. Okay. I will endeavor to make time if that's possible to do. But I know some of the board members have all the board members have expressed interest, and we may individually attend.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage anyone from the community also. Do we know the location in AG?
It's 800 West Branch Street. I don't know if that's City Hall. Is that or
800 West Branch? That
chambers.
Sounds like the City
it's the
Council.
Board chambers, bro.
Board chambers are on East.
That's what I have written down. 800 West Branch. I'm not sure. Where's West? Is it this side of the freeway?
No, it's where the Women's Club, the Regional Center, and the Kmart Center.
Oh.
That side.
Okay.
It may be at the Regional Center then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The address sounds right.
Okay. The next item, the OHV in lieu fees, that's scheduled to go to the supervisors meeting to be held on February the 26th. of 2008 for any directors or members of the public that are interested in going to support.
What day? That.
February the 26th.
Time or just not? Pardon? Just do you know what time or?
No, I don't think they have the agenda time. Yet.
You can call the day before and find out time certain.
No, the same.
No, but you don't.
Yeah.
But again, it's an advisory committee meeting, and we are, unfortunately, we're the small advisors.
That's correct.
Among larger advisors.
That's all I have.
That's only three items.
That's three.
Where's the fourth?
Yeah, no, I thought I had four, but I only had three.
Were you going to report on 118?
Oh, I could do that. If I could remember. They talked about... they have online real-time stream gauge measurements that they can look at the county now, which I guess is a huge step forward. And the other big thing that they talked about while I was there, I had to leave before the meeting was over, but they talked about they adopted new bylaws that they used to have seven members, and they had problems getting a quorum. So now they have seven members and a couple of alternates, two alternates, so that the alternates can be called to come if a member is not coming. Those were the main things that I observed while I was there.
Okay.
Oh, one other thing. They applied for a $1 million Prop 50 grant. They approved that application at that meeting.
I think they were seeking support from local jurisdictions, right, to try to encourage the passage of that Prop 50 grant, too.
We did support that, right?
We submitted a letter. That's correct.
Yeah, very good. That's a worthwhile thing to support, absolutely. I would probably even encourage residents' letters to the editor or... I'm not sure who the agency that disperses the Prop 50 funds would be, but probably your state assemblyman, which is Sam Blakesley, or Mr. Maldonado in the state Senate would be ones that you could send a letter to request that the grant money go to the Zone 11A.
I actually have the address if you want.
Oh, that'd be great.
We addressed our letter to Mr. Scott Couch at the State Water Resources Control Board, Division of Financial Assistance, 1001 I Street, 16th floor, Sacramento, California, 95814.
So it's the Department of Water Resources. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that, item 13, consideration of the warrants.
There's two items I will need to recuse myself on. One is the Kirk and Seamus bill. But I believe that's the second bill. I just had a question about it because we were billed last time for Kirk and Seamus, and then now we're billed again. With recusing myself on that, and the other would be the use of the Rio Grande pump in the Povey Pond. Even though that's, I believe, over 500 feet from my property, it's probably best I could recuse myself.
Is that one on here?
Yeah. Is it? And that is to Rio Grande, that invoice?
Pardon?
That... check that Director Bookout's referring to that was written to
the city of Rio Grande. Yeah, they gave us an invoice. Okay. It was for 2 hours of work, $155.
Question on that, are we going to in turn around and bill Caltrans for that?
I hadn't planned on it, but if you direct me to, I will.
Well, I don't know what the board thinks, but if we did it at their request.
Well, they came in today and asked us to pump again, and Phil and I asked them if they would pay for it, and they said no, they wouldn't pay for it. I mean, we can, you know, it's an invoice for $155. We can go through the administrative process of invoicing them. I don't think we'll ever see it, but we didn't pump today because of that.
Who's this request coming from, and at what level? At what level within?
I think he's a superintendent of some sort, right? Gina, yeah. Do you know what his position is? His name is Dave Fry. That's the guy that asked us last time.
I would think, though, no matter who, if you go in and ask somebody to do something and they have to pay somebody else to be able to do that.
Well, I don't think every one of our employees are, and I know none of us board members can go ask anybody to do anything and the district be liable, so I don't know.
Legally, they're not. Liable. They're clearly not liable, but...
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Can I comment on this? If I have some knowledge...
I think you should not comment on this.
I should not comment on this? Okay. Even though... Okay.
Well, the issue before us right now is the warrants. So there's two warrants that Vice President Bookout will be recused from.
Are you ready for motions?
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion that we...
Okay, hearing none. We can move on then to...
Make a motion that we pay the remaining warrants.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to pay the remaining warrants. Is there public comment on any of the other warrants? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 14, again, general public comment. Hearing none at this time. Are there any written communications?
There are. There's two items. One is an invitation. Actually, the person that sent it to me was the American Chemistry Council, but there's going to be a kickoff for a litter campaign on the Pismo State Dunes Grand Avenue entrance on Thursday, February the 7th, 2008, 11:30 a.m. For anybody that's interested in attending, the emphasis is on recycled plastics, trying to recover recyclable plastics. And the second item is a letter from Oceana resident Cindy Dahl, dated January the 21st, requesting a refund of some money that she spent to pave an alley. I haven't had time to research this, but we'll be bringing this back to the next board meeting for approval.
Okay. That brings us to the end of the agenda for tonight. So thank you very much.